Why so serious?
All the toys, all the time.
I am the game, and still getting trying to play you.
You know the rules. This isn't a toy.
But we bought it at the toy store.
We did, but the way I'm using it makes it an adult thing.
Are you ready to play the game?
Yeah! Welcome to the toy department with Matt Kolsky and Derek Madden.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, toy department back in session and experiencing some weird technical difficulties pre-show, so hopefully we'll be with you through all of this.
Yeah, fingers crossed. It was just one difficulty, really. Yeah. It came out of nowhere, and now hopefully it's over.
Indeed. Speaking of over, our break is over. And why did we go on break?
Was not a rhetorical question?
No, it was not a rhetorical question.
I became a dad.
Yeah, you did.
A very exciting thing. I have a baby boy, literally like 60 to 80 feet from me down the hall in a different bedroom. His name is Griffin. Griffin Aaron Harmon Kolsky. It's a long name. I wanted to weigh in a little bit, but to be honest, he was over a month early and as a result spent a little extra time in the hospital. So we were there for like 10 days and it was just too stressful for me. And I was afraid that I would just turn our podcast into an hour long rant against various aspects of the health system.
Right.
So I didn't want to do that. But
that's coming up later anyway when we talk Thrones.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. He is home. He is healthy. He seems quite happy. He poops quite frequently, and things are really good. It's very exciting.
That is good news.
I'm delirious with exhaustion, and I'm not quite sure which of the things for this week's podcast I lived in my life and which I watched on TV, but. That could make for interesting discussion.
All right, that's going to be cool. My sister and other people who listen to this podcast have told me they feel like you sort of low key just dropped like major personal life information on the podcast and then like move on. So I wanted to make sure that we actually got out there and explained to people that you indeed had a baby. I felt like that was something.
Yeah, I mean, to be clear, I did very little in terms of the having. My wife, Joey, is unbelievable, and he came out 6 pounds, 1 ounce, and we're getting back around there again. And, yeah, he's like, let's see, born on the 11th, so we're day 12 now, and it's a very exciting time.
What kind of height do you got on this kid?
He is long, but I'm terrible with these numbers. but he is long
good
for
wingspan.
His size. Yeah, he came out real skinny because he was a month early, and most of that last month, I guess, is sort of building fat.
Yeah.
So he's short on fat. He's got big feet, and he's real tall, and he can squirm around with the best of them.
Sounds like some tremendous upside potential there.
I'm telling you, man, we're putting a ball in his hands as soon as he can hold a thing. start working on that jump shot. I got Klay Thompson game tape queued up for him whenever he's ready. Baby's first NBA Finals, you know, we're gonna watch the Warriors together.
You got like a little onesie for him?
He has a number of sports-related things. The only one that has so far been employed as his Bears pacifier.
Gotcha.
Because there's only one football team in mommy's house. And
you're raising him as a Bears fan, huh?
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm a Bears fan, and I love the Bears, but I would not have necessarily forced his hand in football.
Yes.
But mom is not so kind.
Yeah. Yeah, that's... That's a rough thing you're doing to him at such a young age.
Yeah. I mean, he's probably heard the words Mitchell and Trubisky as much as any other individual words.
Why do you just want to let this kid grow up without a quarterback?
Whoa. I think you mean grow up with a quarterback. Grow up alongside a growing quarterback.
So he's going to be 25 before he knows what a second read looks like.
Wait, Trubisky or Griffin?
Yeah. I was going to say. All right. Should we talk the Thrones?
Let's talk Thrones.
I have a feeling you've been saving up some thoughts on the Thrones, right?
Kind of, but also kind of. I just, part of me is tired. I don't have the energy to debate with the people who want to nitpick, because I see their points. You know what I mean? I'm not, for people whose reaction to the end was, look, this was all pretty great, but I could have been more satisfied today.
Could they have really been more satisfied? I sort of feel like,
well, here's what I'm saying. Yeah. My suspicion is no. My suspicion is that you're lying to yourself if you're saying that today. But also, I do think there are valid critiques of the storytelling decisions here. You know?
I guess. I just feel like all the critiques are my person didn't win that I liked to win, and I wanted a better ending for character X, who's my favorite. You know what I mean?
Well, I agree with you that the vast majority of it is exactly that. Or else, you know, but I will say, like, the entire, again, I'm not that upset about it. It does, 'cause none of this took me out of what was the most epic television show that's ever existed to this point.
Like, you know, my
but if you look at it and you're like, okay, Bran didn't want to be, or refused essentially to be the Lord of Winterfell, and keeps talking about how he's not really Bran, and then they're like, you want to be king, and he's like, hell yeah, man, what do you think I'm here for? Yeah. Like,
you didn't want anything, didn't you tell us that? Like,
yeah, exactly. So like, not totally consistent.
I mean, but this podcast, right? I mean, I don't know how many Thrones conversations we had in this podcast. Roughly 50, right?
Yeah.
I would say it's a living monument to my hatred of Bran Stark, right? Like, I don't know if anyone owns that corner more than me. So you would think with Bran ending up on the throne that I would be outraged, but I don't really, it doesn't bother me in the slightest, you know?
It honestly doesn't bother me either, because as much as there's some internal inconsistency there with his character, like, this was as good of an answer to the actual question as any, I think.
Yeah. I think it was, like, it's a hard plane to land, and I actually think they did a pretty good job under the circumstances of, you know, coming to a reasonable conclusion, you know?
I really, really strongly tend to agree. And what they managed to do was, A, surprise almost everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Not like Bran finishing on the well, there is no Iron Throne, I guess, but Bran being king, I don't know that anybody had that. Well, I listened to a lot of Thrones content. I didn't hear that.
Vegas had it. Did you know that? Especially by the end, he was like minus 500 or something like that.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I don't know where that came from. If they got tipped somehow or something, but yeah, Vegas had it.
Or maybe people were betting. I don't know. I don't know, but I certainly didn't see it. Nor did I hear anyone predict that.
Well, and one of the things that I think that it's weird that I don't hear anything discussed at all, and to me I thought it was a breathtaking moment. I thought the show did an amazing job of taking the Daenerys sort of like Mad King thing from last week that people were obsessed and outraged about,
yeah,
and kind of having her spin it in a way that sort of made sense for her motivations and that bought in to the point where, you know, and obviously we're spoiling at this point. If you listen to this, you know what I mean? Like, where that stabbing to me, like, I let an audible gasp. I did not see that coming at all.
I wasn't, for the first split second, I wasn't even positive who stabbed who.
Yeah, me neither.
And that was, I completely agree, a thrilling and dramatic and surprising moment as was Drogon burning the throne.
Yeah. Although, it did sort of set up my...
sure he wasn't going to kill Jon.
Yeah, but also, like, I mean, I know Jon's part Targaryen or whatever, but I really feel like the perfect concentration of that fire directly, you know, 6 inches right over Jon's back seemed... That was a little convenient, I felt like.
Well, yeah, but it begs the question. Maybe he could be fireproof, as far as we know.
Right, there is some of that. That's what that was the other part of it.
Yeah, but I so I was pretty sure he wasn't going to die. But I was, you know, the whole thing was surprising to me, and not to mention, like, and I know this has become a meme with like a Dora the Explorer thing, but like, I'd watch the show of whatever Arya is about to do as like a pirate exploring heretofore unseen worlds.
Yeah, I mean, that what's weird is because I guess HBO's come out and said that they're not planning an Arya spinoff right now, but they need to start. That's crazy. Like, they're so perfectly set up for that, right?
Yes, you can tell it's a story you don't need George R. R. Martin for.
Yeah.
You could just tell whatever story you want to tell around Arya and the tremendous Maisie Williams, and you can have completely new characters in every other way and a completely new story, and she can discover whatever the hell you want her to discover.
Right.
It could be so awesome.
And no shade to the tremendous Maisie Williams, but I'm guessing she's available. So, like, I don't, like, why wouldn't you just make that happen right now? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
It would definitely be the better call, Saul, to this show's Breaking Bad, right? Where,
for sure.
Even though obviously the next thing they're doing is a prequel, I do feel like it's like, well, let's just take one character and we can build out a world that could be just as enriching. And by the way, I do feel like this season in general and this finale in particular, it has given me a new respect for Breaking Bad and how well they just fucking nailed that final season and how that show continued to improve and then stuck the landing in a way that everybody was happy about. And you realize how hard that is, you know?
I think it's almost impossible.
You know, obviously there's a lot of talk this year, right, about The Sopranos with the anniversary, about how maybe that's the greatest show of all time. And I think that ending has aged better than, you know, was sort of received at the time.
But I think that's one of the most absurd false narratives I've ever heard.
Oh.
It's just as bad as it was then. It's a trash ending.
I liked it then, so maybe I'm biased. But
well, fine. If you liked it then, fine. But
don't
tell me all that time has done is made you forget. What a gigantic abandoning of stakes that was, and what a gigantic cop out that ending was.
My point more than the merits of it is that
hold
I feel
on,
like you may have not changed your mind, and I may have not changed my mind, but I feel like other people have, whether they've tricked themselves or not.
But I think The Sopranos is the perfect example of this, that like they were so petrified of making a call that they literally just didn't give you an ending.
Hmm.
They made you think about it on your own.
Yeah, see,
did it end?
Well,
I don't know. You decide. And to me, that's a trash cop out. But even if you like it,
I feel like they absolutely had something in mind, and leaving it up to interpretation is not the same thing as copping out. But that's fine. We could argue The Sopranos ending all day, and it sounds like we might if we're not careful. My point was, The Breaking Bad didn't have any of that, right? You're just holy crap, it's awesome.
My point is, The Sopranos was an incredible show.
Mm-hmm.
And it was such an incredible show that people have, like, ex post facto decided to try to enjoy the ending that was trash. And not you, but even if someone believed it was trash at the time, as the impact of that trash has faded in their mind, they just think of how much they love The Sopranos, and so they've you know, post-dated that the finale actually wasn't
perhaps
so bad.
But there are problems with The Sopranos. There are problems with The Wire ending. There are problems
everything.
Yeah.
Breaking
Bad nailed
it. Ever.
Yeah.
There's no other TV show I can think of. I happen to love the ending of Gossip Girl, but not so many people agree with me. I don't think there's ever been a TV show that was considered top two or three for its entire run on the air and disappointed virtually no one with its finale.
Yeah.
It is, you're right. It is truly, and this last season of Thrones, even though I'm with you, I liked it more than most, and I really didn't see many of the problems that people complained about, and I think a lot of it was just, you know, petulant children expressing their displeasure that the thing was ending.
Hey, ghost people, are you happy now?
Yeah, exactly. All those goddamn crocodile tears over Ghost's tragic lack of, you know, screen time, and we get a nice big hug at the end.
Right.
Anyway.
I can't believe it's not the ending the Ghost deserved. Shut up!
Seriously, the worst. Even though I think all that is stupid, you're completely right. If anything, Breaking Bad, you got to have it in your top three shows of all time.
Yeah.
You just have to.
Stuck the landing. And the only two shows I could, you know, and I don't think these shows were of the quality overall, but 6 Feet Under, I feel like, really stuck the landing in a way that made people happy. And The Shield, which I'm hoping someday I'll get you to watch. The Shield finale is really tremendous. But this was one of my favorite episodes of this season of Thrones. Maybe my favorite.
The last two were just tremendous. I really did. They gave me almost everything I actually needed. They really did.
Yeah. And meanwhile, to me, I don't know about you, but to me, like, what the show was really about is, you know, how you know, what is the nature of the way that we can be ruled and should be ruled and should aspire to be ruled, you know? And I felt like the finale really explored that, you know, in ways that made sense and were true to what the show was going to be. And what does it mean to break the wheel? Do we really want to break the wheel? You know, there was that moment where it looked like they were going to settle on democracy all of a sudden. Yeah.
And then everyone just laughed in Sam's face.
Which I thought was great. Because I think I would have been mad if they were just like, and we shall have representative democracy. Here's our constitution. You know, like, that would have been lame. But,
and I actually thought, you know, so many people complained about, well, Tyrion's going to be put to death, and then all of a sudden he's in charge, and he's the hand. But first of all, that's pretty much the way Tyrion's lived the entire time we've seen him.
Yeah.
Like, on the edge of being executed, and then suddenly in one of the highest positions of power in the world. Like, he's done that 3 times. Right?
At least.
Yeah. So, chill. That's what he does. And second of all, like, this is how they would behave if they were somewhat sincere about making things better, but also still wanted power.
Yep. You get some stuff. You get some stuff. All right. You want to be Queen of the North? Fine. And here's who's going to rule the rest of this, you know?
Right. And I actually thought it was totally consistent with Sansa's character and the way she's developed, that she was like, no, that's real cool, Bran, but you and your kingdom can fuck yourself.
Yeah. Yep. Like, and by the way, isn't it such a bad ending for Jon Snow to go back to the Night's Watch, a place that, by the way, he swore he was going to stay forever at one point anyway?
Not that weird, although I agree when people point out that, like, what are they doing other than going and living north of the Wall?
Well, they got to rebuild the Wall, don't they?
What?
Right, the wall needs to be built. There's a big hole in the wall, right? So,
but that wall was to keep out the living dead who were all gone.
Yeah, but maybe, you know, don't you want to build it up just in case they come back, maybe?
I don't know. I guess we'll have to wait and see if there's a spinoff.
I would want the wall back. The wall was there for good reason. But, you know, And those people love John, right? He's going to be back among his people. And he's got his dog back. Like, it's a fine ending.
I'm into it. I'm in favor. I'm just saying. I don't think they're going back to the wall. I think they're headed north to like find a new kingdom.
Yeah, I don't think John's going to keep his oath of not hooking up with anybody, though.
No, he's banging.
He's never really been good at that.
No, that's the one oath he never took very seriously.
Yeah, it's true, right? My father was the most honorable man. So, yeah, look, I had a great time with this show. Yeah, and I just, if you were like, the show's ruined, it's just, that's on you. You know what I mean?
And I still, The thing I most don't understand is, well, it was great until George R. R. Martin wasn't writing it anymore. And it's like, dudes, that's crap.
Yeah. Isn't that just book people wanting to be book people?
I guess, but
it's the same thing like when they were doing the shows, right? And they were, when the books were still on book material, right? These were the same people who wanted to lord it over you that they knew more about what was going to happen. You know what I mean? And like, oh,
I guess, but I think,
you know, I knew about the Red Wedding because I read the books.
I think it's become a bigger narrative than that. I think it's become this thing where everyone's just like, well, you know, the writing just wasn't as good. I mean, that's obvious. And it's like, I just don't think there was that noticeable of a change. And fundamentally, like, as someone who read fantasy novels their entire young adult life, I just think the books are wildly overrated as books.
If these books were so easy to wrap up in a really awesome and entertaining and efficient way, we'd have them. Right. Like, this dude's had years to finish these books, and there's a reason it hasn't been done yet.
Yeah, largely because he's been working on television shows.
Right. Hugely, hugely popular television shows.
Yeah, and advising the people writing those shows throughout. Yeah. So, like, it's not like they had an ugly divorce from George R. R. Martin. They had a talk with him about how to end it, and then they ended it.
Yeah.
Like, and everyone's like, well, it just, everything got so hurried and rushed. It's like, you mean it moved towards a conclusion?
Look, I do.
So I just, you know,
I do feel like this season would have benefited from being 8 or 9 episodes instead of 6. I'm still on that train, you know.
Maybe, but can you really picture any scenario where we got significantly fewer or significantly different complaints?
Probably not. I would have just liked to have seen some of the moments, particularly in the last couple of episodes. I think would have been better if there was a little bit more of the seed planting that the show normally does. You know what I mean?
I agree, and
that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, and I think we both agree on that, and that's why I said early on, like, I'm not super mad at the people who are like, look, great ride, but I would have liked certain things to be better towards the end, because I see that. I don't feel that way, but I get it to a degree. It's just, I think a lot of the more vociferous complaints, what I keep coming back to is, I literally think anything could have happened. Any number of episodes, any different level or type or particular plot twists, and I think the vast majority of those vociferous complaints would have been exactly the same.
Yeah, agreed.
And that's why I just don't think many of them are super valid.
Right. Unless, you know, their chosen person was the hero of the story and ended up on the throne and got a really great moment that they're really just hoping for in their fanfic that they'd like to write.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
Right. Yeah.
Even that, I'm not sure, would have satisfied me very many people. There's so many different damn characters. Like, each of those is a pretty small subset.
Yeah, it really is, you know? And that's a testament to the show, I think, also, by the way, that, you know, so many characters could have those kind of fans. I also thought it was a nice flex of the show to, like, literally just be bringing back random, super random old characters like Lady Aaron's kid. I forget his first name.
Yeah, I think it's John. I think he's a younger John, isn't he? Oh, no, he's not. John is the dead guy.
Yeah.
Peter is Baelish. All the names are floating around.
Like, who is – I know that I've seen Sansa's uncle. But like,
yeah, and I can't remember his name either. But yeah. that was perfect. There were some really funny moments in this episode, and that was one of them. Where Edmure stood up and was like, at first I was like, what's he standing up for? I wonder what his suggestion is going to be. And then you're like, oh my god, he's literally suggesting himself. And who's going to shut this idiot down? And Sansa's like, bro. Cool it. Sit down.
That was
excellent.
Yeah, that was a great dunk. It was a great dunk.
Yes.
This show had a lot of memorable moments, and it's really weird to me that I really feel like the prevailing sentiment is disappointment. And I'm not here for it. I don't have a lot of time for it, frankly. No,
neither do I, and I am disappointed in that prevailing disappointment.
Yeah. So I don't know.
But I'll tell you what, man. Just like to closing thought it, just what a great piece of media and content generating factory for all these years to have had.
Yeah.
I'm just glad we had it.
Just the staging and the scale and the epicness and the fullness of this world and all these characters and all of the plotting and stuff that we went through. And it's far be it for me to claim this is a original plot. Many, many people have said it, but who knows when we're going to have a thing again that captures the public's imagination like this, where you can just sort of talk about it in a party or a bar anywhere, and there's, 15 other people who have ideas and thoughts and conversations. Like, we just don't have those things in our culture much anymore.
It could really be the last water cooler show.
Yeah. And I don't know that it will be the last, but I do think it's like these things are like little comets. You know what I mean? They're going to pop up, and who knows how long it'll be till you see another one. And
I'll say this. Part of what made it that was the epic scale. And as we're now seeing, six different TV shows across four or five different over-the-top, content factories trying to explore shows on this scale, like, it'll be less special.
Yep. A lot of them are going to fall flat on their face.
It'll be harder for the Star Wars Mandalorian to distinguish itself from the Game of Thrones spinoff and the Lord of the Rings Aragorn show. And, like, it won't be the same.
Yeah.
So it'll take that much more to stand out the next time around. And you're right, there'll probably be something that comes along eventually and does capture at least a huge percentage of pop culture attention, but it's going to be more and more rare. And it's hard for the marriage of circumstance and talent and execution to really strike so that you get that shooting star show.
Yeah. I mean, look, there are going to be some great shows on this Sunday night, like, Billions and Killing Eve and We Love the Shy, but it still feels like there's a giant hole in my Sunday. What is HBO doing this Sunday, right? Because Barry's over. What a hell of a season on Barry, by the way.
I haven't yet watched the finale. I've been saving it because I want to make sure I'm not totally delirious.
Yeah, Barry's over. Veep's over.
Yeah, I think HBO is about to launch into a summer full of new stuff, though. They've got several new shows. They've got the Deadwood movie. It's like new HBO, it's almost like phase two of the Marvel universe or something. Yeah. Like HBO phase whatever is opening up shortly.
Some of the trailers for some of the stuff look pretty good. So I'm interested in seeing that.
So much. There's so many new shows.
Yeah. The answer HBO. To this Sunday is just it's a Game of Thrones documentary, that thing about how they made it. Which I'll probably watch too. So good for HBO. I'm excited about that. Speaking of which, a lot of my friends very excited about Chernobyl, which is not a thing I expected to hear this summer. You've watched two, three of these?
I didn't tell you before the show because I didn't want you to get mad at me, and also I felt like it was part of the conversation. I guess maybe you could say I almost kind of watched 1.5.
Okay, so you haven't watched much, is what you're saying.
I couldn't hang, man.
Oh, you're out?
I'm out. Okay. I'm hard out.
Hard
and
out?
And I don't know if it's just the combination of my particular exhaustion and, like, my emotional fragility, but this is as, like, perpetual gut punchy as anything I've seen in a while.
Yeah, I mean, it's bleak. There's no doubt about that.
Like, obviously, you know where this is going. And it's already gone there in many ways. And it's just deeply horrifying. And I was both disturbed and also somewhat put to sleep by the show.
Yeah, see, I'm more into the incredibleness of it. Like, just the fact that, this was a thing that happened.
It is incredible.
In the world. Like, in my lifetime, I kind of remember it. And it's like, you don't really think about it too much until you and so now confronted with it and what really happened, you're like, holy shit, this was incredible. Like, why don't we talk about this all the time?
It is, truly, holy shit.
Yeah.
Like that's, and I would never tell anyone not to watch it because it really, I can't tell you it's not affecting in a way.
Yeah, it captures that it holy shitness really well, I think.
Oh, the dude, we've been through this on at least like four occasions over the long life of this, you know, largely ignored podcast. The guy, the guy who the show opens on, who's the, you know, the like British doctor who records the tape, he's somebody's kid, and he's a tremendous actor, and he's like a you know, UK that guy.
Yeah.
But he's awesome, and the Russians, I mean I assume the choice here is they made it in English. And they're just like, yeah, okay, they were speaking Russian, but fuck it, man.
Well, yeah, I've actually been dying to ask you about that. I was like, why is everyone speaking with a British accent? Like all these Russians and Belarusians and, you know.
Yeah. They call each other comrade, and I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
I don't like subtitles. I'm sorry. Call me uncultured. I don't like reading when I'm watching a TV show, and it's fine for me to know in my brain that they're Russians and just be able to understand what they're saying. Like, I don't care.
Yeah.
So I'm happy they did that. And it's a choice, you know, it's a choice people have made plenty of times in the past, but I'm glad they did it. Cause otherwise the whole thing would be in Russian or whatever, Ukrainian, whatever it is. So again, like it's compelling in many ways, but it's also, It's effing intense, man, and it's not gonna make you feel good.
No, it's not feel good. It's not good time entertainment for sure. I come to realize how much I liked Lane Price on Mad Men, because every time I see that dude, I'm always like, hey, it's Lane Price. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know why it makes me happy every time he's on screen and something, but I do enjoy it, and I think he's very good.
It's Jared Harris. Lane Price is the character.
Yeah.
And he's Richard Harris's kid, I believe.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Okay. I kind of thought you were talking about the Skarsgård that was in this when you were saying that.
No. That's right. There's a Skarsgård. No, he's. Yeah, he was. I didn't watch Mad Men, so I didn't make that association. Hold on. Who's his dad? Yeah, he's Richard Harris's kid. So, you know, British acting royalty. And I just think he's fantastic.
Yeah.
I watched a sci-fi show called, what was it called?
The Expanse? The Terror?
No. No, that he was in.
I'm just reading through his credits right now.
Oh, he was in The Expanse. Oh, yeah. I didn't watch The Expanse. No, it was called, oh no, he was in Fringe. Sorry. Not the sci-fi show I was thinking of.
Okay. That concludes this ride through Jared Harris's IMDb.
Did you watch Fringe?
I watched a little bit of Fringe. I think we talked about it at one point on the podcast.
Yeah, I love Fringe, and he was like a pretty big sort of villain character in that, and was excellent. He's also in a show that's been recommended to me for us to try called The Terror.
Ah, yeah, well, I just read through that. Is that on, where does that air on The Terror?
I believe it's AMC.
Oh, okay.
It's an anthology, like horror drama series, I guess. Something to think about. Anyway, he was also in Mr. Deeds and Lincoln, among other things.
Okay, Mr. Deeds. Anyway, I've been told that episode 3 is tremendous. I don't know if you have any desire to try to get back on the horse, but I'm going to continue to watch. So,
yeah, we'll see what happens once I get a full night of sleep for the first time in 2 weeks. But I think it was too much for me. We'll see if you can get me back in.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. But that's one to revisit later on. All right, what else we have on the agenda for
two
today?
Two returning shows that we love. And nothing has changed for me.
How many episodes of Easy did you watch?
I'd have to look it up, but at least two or three.
I think I'm through like five now.
okay, and I'm right back in, man. It's you know what I thought of, especially watching the first episode, which I have really grown to not like the wife in that storyline. But I just, it's so Swanberg-y, and it all feels so real to life to me. And it's also Chicago, which obviously I love. But I started thinking about the Sunset, the Linklater series of movies,
mm-hmm.
where you're just like dropped back into these people's lives, and it feels like old friends that you're catching up on the lives of, and it feels super real, and the storytelling is just, it feels like you're hearing about someone's life, not being told a story.
Yeah,
you know?
It's cool. All just richer and richer the more time that you've now spent with these people. You know what I mean?
Right.
The interactions are deeper and more meaningful. And
what's incredible to me is, and this is why I compared it to like Before Sunset, Before Sunrise, all that, is because even the time we haven't spent with them feels like enriching, and like I feel like those people have been living these lives when we weren't watching. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that's a really hard thing to create because, you know, not a lot of things. Which, you know, speaking of Linklater, that's also sort of what he accomplished with Boyhood, is feeling like real life happened off screen and it was meaningful.
Yeah, agreed. And I think that's especially hard to do with multiple people across multiple, you know, different relationships. You just don't
right,
really
that,
get that.
You know, only tangentially related storylines other than them all existing in one beautiful, incredible city.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, 100% fresh. For easy.
Really?
So don't take our word for it. Not a lot of reviews, but 100% on those reviews.
That so. I mean, yeah, because I really don't know what you could find to complain about. I think whatever Swanberg does with the improvisational style keeps this very fresh, makes it feel super, you know, these are buzzy things that we say a lot, but lived in and true to like authentic. And it's just, if you're into this kind of pitch of indie entertainment, it's pretty much perfect.
Yeah. And like, particularly this is like one of the reasons why I like doing this podcast, because I think there are shows like this that people are not necessarily watching that I think they would love and get a lot out of. And this is definitely one of those.
Totally. And I think this is, if there's anything we've done with success on this podcast, it's root out a fair number of shows like this.
Yep.
Or movies. You know, and I do think there are some people who do it especially well. You know, Duplass and Swanberg jump to mind, but there are others we've gone through. You know, Lena Dunham, in a very different way, does a similar thing.
Yeah.
We've gone through a lot of these over the couple of few years of doing this, and I think it's some of our favorite entertainment. And I agree with you that these are the sorts of things that I don't think enough people are watching, and that I think a really wide array of types of people would get something out of.
Yeah, me too. Me too. And so I hope that you find this one. I am less fired up about season 3 of Sneaky Pete.
Okay, how many did you watch?
I think I'm through 4.
Oh, and you didn't get hooked?
No.
Because I have to say, episode 1 and 2, I was like, all right, we've gone far enough down this road for me. But then they sort of hooked us into this new plot line with the old girlfriend and real Pete coming back, and the sort of Marius being pulled in two very different directions. And I'm kind of back in. I just love Giovanni Ribisi as part of it.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Maybe I'll get more hooked in. This feels a little bit like Diminishing Returns. Feels like we're kind of just doing the same thing in a different direction. You know what I mean? But
maybe look, I can't argue too strongly with that, but I do get the feeling maybe there's a slightly new direction developing as we get into the middle of this season. Now, you know, I'm probably 4 or 5 in, which means I'm halfway to the end. So I don't know how well it'll pay off, or if it'll be something more interesting than the past couple seasons in any way. But maybe it is just my love for Giovanni Ribisi carrying me through, but I just enjoy watching the guy.
Yeah. I'd certainly like to see him do some more conning, but I'm assuming that's going to be happening at some point. You know what I mean?
Oh, I think the cons are coming.
Yeah. I mean, there's obviously a little bit of that when he meets up with the ex, but
yeah, well, and I also enjoy Jeff Ross, by the way.
Yeah, it is sort of fun to have him around.
Yeah, Jeff Ross as like a douchey rich guy who likes overpriced wine. I'm into that.
And yet,
never takes his sunglasses off. He pulls that off very well. Yeah. And yet, in real life, seems to be one of the chillest dudes alive.
Yep. I think I could see how someone living in the Bay Area would be attracted to DJ Risk guys who never take off their sunglasses and like fine wine.
All right, calm down. I didn't say he seems like a quality human being. I didn't say the character seems like a guy I want to spend time with.
I'm just breaking balls, man. Just breaking balls. All right. I'm willing to, you know, say that this is a first impression. I'm not planning to bail on the show or anything, okay. But I have not. The first two seasons of Sneaky Pete I devoured, and this one I'm kind of poking my fork at a little bit.
Okay, that's fair. Let's see if we get any additional traction as I finish it. I'll let you know.
Okay.
I think I am going to finish it pretty soon.
by
the way, this is a total crib from the Bill Simmons podcast, but did you happen to catch him talking about the CW show he discovered on Netflix starring Taye Diggs?
I did happen to catch him talking about that. And I just had a hard time believing it was any good despite his. Have you been watching it?
Here's what I watched one episode, and I would say that the description of Friday Night Lights meets the OC is dead on, and it's maybe not quite as good as either of those, but I think it's going to be super entertaining, and I wouldn't rule it out becoming just as good as either of those.
All right. Well,
Friday Night Lights is a high bar, but
yeah,
OC,
and that's the thing,
which
is
I really love.
I just don't know
is
if
a reasonable goal.
It's hard for me to imagine someone doing that genre better than that show. You know what I mean? So it just feels superfluous to me.
It doesn't seem better than the OC, but it certainly presses a lot of the same buttons.
Yeah. All right. So you're saying we should check it out. Do you want to make that officially homework?
I'm saying I'm going to watch some.
Okay.
Look, I'm saying I'm probably going to watch some. And I can just let you know how it develops. I'm not saying get into it now. I'm just telling you, like, Simmons sold me, and after 45 minutes, I'm not walking away.
Okay. By the way, I don't know why I'm plugging other people's podcasts, particularly ones that are like one of the most popular in the world. But I also definitely recommend the Zane Lowe Conversation.
Oh, phenomenal.
Yeah.
And I have to say, too, while we're complimenting The Ringer, I've always enjoyed Ryan Russillo. And I think he and Bill Simmons talking hoop is like as good as it gets.
Yeah, it's pretty great. As long as they're not talking about Boston.
Sure, the Boston thing's a little annoying, but I've become very used to that at this point as a you know, Ringer acolyte.
Yeah, it's just the tax you pay, right? You're going to get way too much talk about Boston.
And now that Boston's not there, I mean, I'm not sure anybody in the game is watching more basketball than those two. I think they both think the game usually really well, always very in a very interesting way. They're both creative and thoughtful and smart, and it just is a funny, entertaining, really high-level and high-quality basketball conversation that I think would appeal to people all the way from, like, you know, casual fans who are just tuning in for the Final Four down to super nerds.
Yep.
So I just think it's great.
I don't disagree with any of that, and I say to you, Bill Simmons and Ryan Russillo, now please return the favor and plug our podcast on your...
True story. True story. We know you're listening. Don't kid yourself.
Okay.
5 stars. Rate and review.
Exactly. Are you ready to talk homework?
Yeah. Why do I feel like something's missing? I don't think it is.
I don't think it is. Yeah, I think we did all the things. Good. Although I'll probably discover it an hour later and be like, ah, man, we forgot the ball. but whatever.
I mean, that's a thing we do all the time, but I think we covered all of the homework. So, yeah, I think we did it. Champs.
Yes. Yeah. Speaking of champs.
Yes. I set you up for that. Way to knock it down.
There is one more episode to go of the challenge.
We're only halfway through the craziest finale of all time. I mean, we spoil the challenge here, right? Like, I don't need to leave the last week's episode unspoiled, do I?
Well, look, here's your chance to bail out now if you have not caught up in the challenge.
I take it back. I won't spoil. Here's what I'll say. I've only watched like 3 seasons of this thing, but that was, I have to say, that had to be easily the most dramatic, intense, insane episode I've ever seen.
Yeah, it was like the way that finale looked, like, it seemed like that would be enough to just be the finale. So the fact that there's a whole other episode,
amazing, is like, I honestly, like, a lot of this stuff, I look at these people and I'm like, man, if I got in shape, I'd whoop some ass in this thing, because I think they're mostly stupid and they mostly don't do stuff smart ways, and like, I don't know about the like abject terror of heights when you're clipped in and being filmed for an MTV show. Like, you're clearly not in real danger.
Right. It's like, you know what I mean? If you've watched the show as much as we have, you know that no one's ever really, really, like, people have been injured a little bit, sure, but no one's ever really gotten hurt.
You're not doing permanent damage. And yeah. So like, I often watch and I'm like, you suckers, I could take you if I was in my peak physical condition, certainly 10 years ago, I feel like I could compete. Not so.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
First half. I would have been in an ambulance for 100%. No doubt in my mind, I would have been in an ambulance.
I don't feel like I could compete, even, you know, quote unquote, getting in shape on the endurance level with some of these guys. And then, like, you look at some of the strength levels of people in this season of the challenge, like, some of the muscles on these dudes, you know.
No, I agree. I'm not saying that at my best, I was the physical match for them. I'm saying I don't think they use their physicality that well. And I think a lot of them are sort of stiff meatheads that,
oh yeah,
would better off being a little limber.
Hence, you know, hence, like, the rise of Wes.
Not that pure test of strength on this show.
No, sometimes there are, though. Like, some of those, you know, like that one where they're like, you know, it's like run through the hall, and they, you know, and there's the person waiting for you on the other side. You know, like, some of those are, like, or like the grab the stick ones. You know what I mean? Sure. Like,
sure, but like, Wes really has not had to best anyone physically, and I would say he's my favorite right now.
Oh boy. See, what a tremendous season from Wes.
Like, I feel one like I could basically play Wes's game if I had been in his shoes. You know what I mean? Like, that's the game I feel like I could usually play. But again, this final, just the first half of it is like, oh no, definitely not. Definitely 100%. I could not do that. I never could have done that. I don't want to try that. No.
It would have been curtains. Anyway, this show's great. You can tell we can't stop talking about it even when we start.
Oh, man. So, the finale, I'm so excited. It could go so many different ways. I have so many thoughts and feelings about the whole season, and we will talk about it next week.
Yep. So, you may recall we loved the Spike Lee TV series, She's Gotta Have It. Sorry, go ahead.
Starring a young lady who we later enjoyed in the Gina Rodriguez Netflix movie.
Yeah, someone great. Yeah, I enjoy her whenever I see her. But I wasn't necessarily realizing they were making one. I don't necessarily know that we needed a second season of the show, but I'm glad it's here, and I'm willing to check it out. It premieres Friday on Netflix, so we're going to talk about that.
Well, what's interesting is the first season basically played out the film over the course of 8 or 10 episodes or whatever it was. And now I guess you could really go anywhere with it.
Yep. Yep.
So we'll see what happens.
Much has been made about Phoebe Waller-Bridge not being involved so much in this season of Killing Eve. I'm presuming that's because she was working on Fleabag season 2, which is out now, already out. We'll watch some of that, talk about that. There's a Netflix movie called The Perfection.
Netflix thrillers. Netflix really leaning into the thriller genre, I feel.
Well, you know, I was having a conversation with a friend today about whether...
Well, maybe it's leaning into everything, I guess.
Whether, you know, Disney Plus or Disney Plus, if you're a Watch fan, was going to destroy Netflix, you know, because they were going to be taking their Marvel and Star Wars and cartoon balls and going home, essentially.
Right. I think no.
Plus having Hulu, plus having ESPN Plus, and being able to combine that in a small package... You know, there are people who believe it's going to destroy Netflix, and I understand why people might believe that, but I think the fact that Netflix has taken over so many of these genres with original programming, thriller, horror, stand-up comedy, rom-coms. Yeah, like Disney Plus doesn't have a To All the Boys I Loved Before yet. Maybe they'll come up with something and people will find it just as great. You know what I mean? But... I don't know. Like, there's an audience of teenage girls I think are pretty fiercely devoted to Netflix original content, you know?
Right.
And
I think
there's no one more
anything,
fiercely devoted to anything than teenage girls. You know what I mean? So
I think this is more about cable television dying than about any other streaming service dying.
I think people are going to have room for both of those things when they are fully unleashed. So it'll be.
That's right. And I think ultimately the future is, ironically, just a different version of a cable company where someone, much like Comcast, aggregates a bunch of streaming services for you and you pay one monthly fee for four streaming services that have all your favorite shows and movies.
Yep. Well, they're rebundling is going to be fascinating.
Exactly. Exactly.
That is where we're going.
They'll find a way to stick it directly to us.
Wouldn't it be great if I could just pay one person for all of this?
Right. And then all of a sudden you're paying a cable company.
And right. And then eventually the price will balloon back to $150 a month, and then we'll start this process all over again. That'd be great.
Bingo.
Actually, probably be $200 a month by then with inflation, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
So, and then wait till you start talking about Sunday Ticket and all this. By the way, we probably should at some point have a discussion about, like, you know, now that Kaepernick is settled, Are we just out on the NFL, or are we all just going to kind of go back to our lives and give them money again? Because I honestly don't know what to do about that.
Did you see Cap with at the Warriors game in Portland?
I did not. No, I missed game four of the Warriors game because I went to John Wick 3, which is the other thing we're going to do for homework. So I figured I'd just get that in now.
Yeah. Yes, we'll do that. But Kaepernick was courtside for Warriors-Blazers Game 4, the conclusion. And also, Bob Weir and Bill Walton were courtside.
Yeah, that's a lot of hair.
Yeah, yes it is. Anyway, I don't know what to tell you. I don't have a choice.
Right, you don't have a choice. But I do.
But I have to say... I'm not sure I would choose differently.
I'm not fully over it. You know what I mean? Like when Chad Kelly gets re-signed, I get annoyed again.
Right.
So,
right.
And that's going to happen a lot. And there's obviously a lot of other reasons that, you know, football is conflicting. By the way, Blackish did a really great episode about this not too long ago that I would recommend, that I sort of felt the pain of it because at its heart, I love the game and it's exciting.
Yep.
And I miss it when it's not around, but I definitely feel like these are bad people who also don't deserve my money. And I don't know how I'm going to reconcile those two things. So,
yeah, I go back to what I sort of always go back to, and it's not necessarily a defense. It's just a fact. That slope is intensely slippery.
It is. It is. But this is the very top of that slope. You know what I mean?
No, you're right. You're right. It's
the
just...
very top of that slope.
Yeah, because they're so bald-faced about it. But they're not worse people than corporations that we buy from every day.
This is the, you know, because I am a believer in the, I think it's really tough to parse out your money, what happens to your money after you spend it. But this is, you're talking about directly giving these people money. You know what I mean?
Well,
so it's sort of a different thing.
Every single Amazon order, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like you're just it's yeah. I'm with you at a certain level, and in theory I am totally with you, as I think you know, but I also try to be a realist about this stuff, And it's kind of, it's not, to me, it's not unlike the Nick Bosa stuff. I understand and sympathize with San Franciscans, 49ers fans who say things like, I don't want to root for that guy. You know, I don't want him on my team. I wish we had done something else with the draft pick. He's a bad dude. The thing is, I just think there's already five guys in every locker room with the same opinions.
And look, we've all had some experience in our lives of being like, this is my team and I support all of them except for maybe that one guy over there. I don't really care so much. Like, you can do that. You can get around it.
Sure. I Rip Hamilton was on the Bulls for several years.
I'm just going to say the words John Rocker and just leave it alone.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, man. Billy Koch.
It is what it is.
A lot of baseball. A lot of baseball. Look.
Yeah, baseball's like, let's just be, there's
this right on the table.
There's a soft underbelly of baseball that you do not want to like pick up and look at.
And football. And the soft underbelly is corn-fed Southern white kids. Yeah. That's what it is.
And Richie Incognito, wherever he's from.
I'm pretty sure he's a Midwestern farm boy.
Yeah.
Like, that's who it is. It's you know, South Midwest and true South.
Yeah. Well, look, and just
oh no,
forget
you know
about
what? He's a New Jersey douchebag.
Yeah, forget about the regionalization. You're just dealing with a lot of people who are loosely educated. I'll put it.
There you go.
And leave it alone.
So. I hope it feels earned as a, you know, adult white male when I say, crappy white people. There are crappy white people in football and baseball, and a lot of them are MAGA. And for those of us who find those positions
abhorrent,
yeah, reprehensible, you know, on one hand I get it, you want to not support certain people. On the other hand, let's not kid ourselves that you aren't already supporting those people.
Yeah, fair
I mean,
enough.
You just are. You are.
Yeah.
Every time you watch baseball, every time you put on Fox TV, every time you – I mean, it's just – welcome to capitalism.
Yeah. Yep. Welcome to capitalism. Maybe we should just let all the people vote.
This is a weird turn.
Not really.
What podcast is this again?
This is the toy department about fun things.
Was that all the homework?
That is all the homework. If you caught John Wick 3. I have some thoughts about John Wick 3, so I'm dying to share them with you next week.
They sadly, you have to wait a week.
Tumble
and,
out before then.
I got to go check on my baby.
Dude, go check on your baby.
Bye!
This game's in the Admiral refrigerator. The door is closed. The light's out. Butter's getting hard, the eggs are cooling, and the Jell-O is jiggling.
So long, everybody.
And do me a favor, have yourself a tremendous evening.